if someone has raised their hand and said, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing because I have some sort of problem that needs to be solved, it's now my duty to get to know who that person is so that I can understand what their problem is and see if I can help them solve it.
Hello, welcome to episode 184 of the Smart Agents Podcast. My name is Michael Walter, and I'll be your host. On today's episode, we are joined by lead generation expert, author, and founder of Call the Damn Leads, Drewby Wilson. In real estate, the name of the game is lead generation and how to get someone to choose to work with you over your competition. With an extensive background in sales and marketing, Drewby has honed his process for generating exclusive leads. Now, beyond bringing in new leads, Drewby has developed a proven follow-up strategy to not only start conversations, but close more deals using memes. Throughout our conversation, Drewby shares how a combination of organic and paid marketing strategies are your best bet for growing your business. But before we get on to the day's featured interview, the Smart Agents magazine is available and is full of insights and strategies designed to help real estate agents grow their businesses. Inside, you will find interviews and advice from leading real estate professionals, marketing tips to flood your business with leads, and even swipe and deploy files full of practical tools to enhance your business. Subscribe now to receive your copy of the printed magazine each month and instantly get access to our online agent community and members-only templates. Click the link in the episode description or go to smartagents.com/magazine. Also, if you enjoy this conversation, be sure to like and subscribe. The Smart Agents Podcast streams on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and of course, YouTube. And finally, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to the day's featured interview with Drewby Wilson. If you're interested in learning more from him, I highly recommend checking out his book, Call the Damn Leads. I have a link for you to download a free copy in the episode description. Really, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just tell us a little bit who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, so my name is Drewby. I am the Meme Lord Wilson, and I'm here based out of Dallas, Texas right now, but actually getting ready to go on the road. My family and I are going to sell our house and move into an RV and travel for a little while.
Awesome. That's a dream my wife and I have definitely had with our kids as well.
You know, it's every time we've heard someone and told them a little bit about our journey over the last like 12 months or so that we've been planning, a lot of people say, hey, that's kind of a dream of ours. And, you know, one of the things that I've really focused on in my life and journey is lifestyle by design. And so we're kind of like, yeah, that's what a lot of people say. So we're going to go and live that dream right now if we can. And maybe we don't love it, but that's what we're going to go and go after.
Yeah. So before we kind of get into some of the things that were, you know, they're really the meat and potatoes of what we're going to talk about, tell me how you got into the sales world and kind of started developing some of these philosophies that we'll get into.
You know, as a kid, I was what we will call a commodities relocation specialist, meaning that pretty much whatever you needed, I could find it and get my hands on it. Legal, illegal, didn't really matter. So I kind of came up hustling. As I got older, I realized obviously that's not a life you can live for a long time in. There's really only two outcomes that happen, death or prison. And, you know, I started growing up, started realizing, all right, how am I going to get myself into a legitimate situation? So I had done a couple of different sales jobs, really grew up online originally selling, you know, video game items. We were playing online video games and selling them on eBay and doing little hustles and side things. So I've kind of always been in sales. My first real sales job came when I started selling cigars and tobacco for a gentleman that I worked for who also owned several nightclubs. So I was like a bouncer in the evening, and then I started selling retail tobacco and cigars for a number of years, ended up moving into furniture, insurance, that led me into digital marketing, and a whole slew of things since that point.
Yeah, awesome. So like we were talking about right before we started recording, audience is all real estate agents, real estate brokers. So marketing and lead generation, you know, without that, you don't have much of a business. You're relying on those referrals. And to scale, you got to start bringing in those leads.
You know, it's funny because that's really where I started learning marketing as an insurance agent. I was one of the top producers in my market, and we were buying anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a month worth of internet leads. And so shout out to all the lead vendors out there that were taking our money and reselling them to 18 different people at one time. And then 6 months later, reselling them to somebody else for half the price. And it was just, if you've been in that world, you know that world. It's not fun. It's a grind. And so for me, as part of that insurance was like, okay, how am I going to generate my own leads? Even if they're not like, even if they're the same quality, if they're exclusive and I don't have to fight five other people to get a hold of this person, there's some benefit and some value to that. So I really went into marketing, and one of my first couple clients was, well, once I learned how to do it for insurance, obviously it was like, well, how can I help real estate agents go and find more leads because they need leads? And then it was, well, real estate, insurance, mortgage. I had my little trifecta there, and I just started creating leads for everybody, which led me into the marketing business to move on from there.
Right. So kind of jumping into that, what were some of the things and the tactics that you were doing to start generating leads that were more exclusive to those clients of yours?
So it's really a two-part process, because you can spend a ton of money on pay-per-click advertising and have people that are just like calling you, or you're getting those inbound leads to work on, and that can be okay. The thing is, if you start calling those people and they start doing their research on you and you don't have a strong organic foundation for them to find, there also is a lack of trust there. And if you're in the game, you know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so part of that process is having a strong organic foundation and making sure that you're leveraging all of the different tools that exist online. So social media is a great platform, Google My Business. There's so many little things that you can do to just let the world know you exist and you're legitimate. And a lot of people skip over that and just go right to the, well, I'm just going to pay for marketing. And I'm just going to know, hey, if I spend $100 a lead, if I sell one lead out of 10, then I'm going to make my money back. Well, yeah, that can work. And also, it would be a lot nicer to be able to get 10 leads and say, well, four out of those 10 are going to close because they also see all of the other work that I'm doing to put out social media content, to create value-based and educational types of information that can let the world essentially know why they should like you and why they should trust you, so that they'll want to do business with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, just through doing what we do with agents, I'm always, you know, searching different agents. And I can't tell you how many times I come across a Facebook page that doesn't have a picture on it, or all there is the automated blog post. And then you go to their Google page and there's nothing there. And then their, you know, broker page, there might be one picture and there's nothing there. And it really does, you know, if you're spending all that money on that, you know, that marketing, and there's nothing for anybody, I can click and see that ad. But when I go and search you, because that ad's not going to make me immediately call you. I'm going to look you up. And there's nothing for me there, I'm probably moving on to the next.
You know, and I'm going to pick on you agents a little bit, because this is something I actually talk about in one of my books about social media mastery. It's just, if I click on your profile and I see a picture of you and it's this young, dolled up, you know, really pretty looking thing, and then I go to meet you in person and you are not who you represent yourself as online, there's going to be distrust. And realtors, you're really, really guilty of this. So hear me out with love here when I say it's okay to be you and to represent you, because when someone searches you out, they want to see you, not you from 10 years ago, not you as an AI portfolio. They want to know who they're doing business with. So it's really, really important that your main profile picture is a good picture of you, not your brokerage, not your logo, not anything. It needs to be a picture of you. And so I really like to hound on this, and I've made several memes where I pick on the real estate agents, but this is so important, because if someone finds you online and then you meet them at the home for a showing or a listing appointment and you aren't who you appear to be online, there's immediately a wall up. And now that lack of rapport is going to make it a lot harder for them to want to go through one of the biggest transactions of their life in this season. So I had to soapbox that for a minute, Michael. I appreciate that, but it's so prevalent.
Yeah, absolutely. But it really is, you know, between your, you know, all your marketing, especially the organic stuff, it has to align with who you are, because eventually it's going to come out. Eventually, yep. You know, you're going to go knock on that door and sit across the table from, you know, from that person, and they're going to see pretty quickly.
Absolutely. And that's the same with the content you create too, right? If you're making posts and you're creating videos and you're coming off as something that's one version of you, and that's what everybody sees from the public, but then you know, they go out to a restaurant and they see you mistreating someone, or they see you acting like a diva or doing something that's just not the same person you represent online, they're going to talk about that. That's what social media is. It's just a way for people to be able to watch and live vicariously. So be very aware of that is a great way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, and we've touched on it a few times, but having that organic library for somebody to be able to go back to, how much, you know, when you are thinking about your overall marketing, you know, plan and, you know, the execution of that plan, how much of that organic posting and organic content is a part of that initial plan?
Honestly, it's 80-20. I think 80% should be organic and 20% should be paid marketing. Because here's what can happen with paid marketing, and I've seen it time and time again. It can go one of two ways. You can spend the money and you cannot call the damn leads, and you can make a bunch of excuses about why the leads suck and how these people aren't interested and blah, blah, blah. We'll talk about that later. Or you could have some marketing that goes really, really well, and then all of a sudden you get 10, 15 people at a time that want to work with you. And here's what I know about 99.9% of every industry. If I were to walk in and hand you 100 clients that are ready to go right now, you would absolutely crumble. And so if you have a marketing plan that goes really, really well, and you don't have a system and you don't have a process to be effective and efficient to service those clients, well, all of those five stars are going to become one stars because all the people that you were supposed to be helping didn't get the level of service they deserved. So I like to start organic. It's not as fast of growth, but it's more sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we kind of jumped right into the social media and that type of marketing, but I want to talk to you about your philosophy, you know, the crush the day philosophy and what that means to you and how that all came about.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. I appreciate you bringing that up because crushing the day is, to me, my mantra. It's kind of my motivation, right? And we know that motivation is fleeting. It's there and then it goes away because we get some kind of message or something comes up, right? Some struggle. And at one point in my life, you may not be able to tell now if you're watching us on video, but I used to be over about 300 pounds. So I was very overweight, not very happy, kind of unfulfilled, which didn't make a lot of sense to me logically because I was married. I had a son. I had a beautiful wife, had a kid. I had a house that we had just bought, like all the things that should be good in life. And what I've realized over time is that good will steal from great every chance that it gets. And so when I started going on this journey of realizing, hey, I need to lose this weight, I want to make more than $30,000 a year, because at the time, that's about what I was making. And again, I grew up a drug dealer and barely graduated high school. And so that was kind of, well, that's going to be the best you ever get. And it would have been if I'd have chose to settle there. And so I started getting up and working out and listening to guys like Jim Rohn and Eric Thomas and a lot of the motivational speakers you guys hear now on all those great YouTube videos that we watch on repeat, you know. And I used to work third shift at one point, and that was part of where I kind of ballooned up because I didn't eat very well, didn't sleep very well, just didn't live a healthy lifestyle. And I just started realizing if I get up early – and I go walk and I work out and I do that first because it's the thing I really don't want to do. I get that out of the way. I already feel like a winner. And then I can go into the day a little more motivated, a little more excited about what's to come. And if I do run into a struggle, it's not so bad. So it was kind of like, all right, Drewby, every morning when you wake up, go out there and crush the day before it crushes you. Because it's real easy to wake up, look at your phone. Oh, there's a deal that canceled. Underwriting screwed that one up. The mortgage officer screwed that deal. Like, we can make excuses. We could go to social media and see all the political, like, we won't even go down that rabbit hole, but it's really easy to wake up and get distracted by life and to just let the day absolutely crush you and to look up and it be 3 p.m. and going, where did the day go? I got to get the kids from school. I didn't even call my clients back. I've got the listing appointment. It's so easy for that to happen. And so that's just my mantra every day. Hey, get up, crush the day before it crushes you. So one thing at a time, go through it, make sure you're doing the things that you need to do to get the result you want so that you can live a life by design instead of letting life design what you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've talked to several people that have kind of taken on that same mantra and that same mindset, and really, you know, a lot of it, for them, it came down to, you have to take care of yourself before you can serve your clients. And, you know, you need to be taking care of yourself just as good as you want to take care of your clients as well.
I told you we were kindred spirits, Michael, because like part of one of the presentations I give, because I have several keynotes that I give, but one of them, it talks about, you know, valuing your time and understanding that where you spend your time is so important. And there's a lot of people who just operate with this mentality that they have an unlimited amount of time and that they'll be able to just, I'll get to that later. I'll, you know, do that when I want to do it. But the thing that I know is if you want to be successful, you got to know what your time is worth first. Yeah. And most people don't do that. And something that you said is so important. It's like, well, if you can't take care of yourself first, how can you take care of everyone else? And if any of us, you know, it's been a few years since the shutdown, so like you may have been on a plane recently. What's the first thing they told you during the safety briefing? Got to put your own oxygen mask on first. Or you become a burden to everyone around you, which is a weird thing to think about because, again, a lot of us are selfless and we're putting ourselves last thinking that it's the right thing to do to help all these other people. But it's the complete opposite. We're actually hurting them more than we're helping them because we aren't the best version of ourselves to show up the best version for them, which, yeah. Mike, you set me up for that. You must have teed me up on that as best you could, sir. I love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, you know, how did you see, you know, yourself and your business, you know, really kind of start to morph once you took on this mindset?
So kind of going back to what is your time worth? This is a one of the processes I take every client that I work through personally, and I'm going to share it with your audience if you don't mind. But essentially what you need to do is look at how much money did you make last year as a whole from your main gig, your side gigs, whether your real estate, your full-time job, or your side hustle, whatever. How much money did you make last year as a total? And then I want you to take that number and divide it by 2,000 because if you were, quote, average – and I know if you're listening to a podcast like this, you're not an average individual because you're seeking knowledge. So like you're not average. But if you were, let's just say you'd work 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, and you'd take a 2-week vacation. Paid, unpaid, just kind of depends, you know, but let's just say you take a 2-week vacation. So you're working 40 hours times 50 weeks, 2,000 hours. So if you made $100,000 last year, your time is worth $50 an hour. So to some people that grew up and $10 an hour was what they thought they'd always make, that's great. And yet to other people, they're like, man, that doesn't really sound like a lot. You know, it's kind of a number. I wouldn't be able to live on that. But here's where it really gets you messed up. Now that you know that number, I'm deaf. I come knocking on your door and I say, hey, you got 24 hours left. Here's X amount of dollars for 1 hour of your time. I need you to come with me. What kind of response are you going to give him?
Yeah.
You're going to be a little more hesitant to trade that time off because now you're starting to put a value on your time. And yet we still run around as if we have this unlimited amount of time. And the scary thing is to make more of money, you have two options. You can either work twice as hard or work twice as much. And let's be honest, none of us really want to do either of those things. You know, we don't mind working hard, but we want to get a result from it. And we don't want to work twice as hard if it's only going to double the result. That's not really where we're looking for either. So I again, man, you have teed me up perfectly for these because this is so important because if you start to realize the value of your time and you start respecting what that value is, guess what other people are going to do? Yeah. They're going to start respecting it also.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as you kind of went through this yourself and you started, you know, teaching other people, that led you into, you know, writing books and all kind of other things. So how did that all come about? How did you, you know, decide like this is something I want to share with other people and help, you know, them grow their businesses?
One of the things that I've always been kind of weird about is like I never really liked salespeople. Funny. I ended up in sales and this is like literally what I do all day long. And I absolutely love the industry. What I realized is I didn't love like pushy sales. I'm a servant. I love to help people at the end of the day. Excuse me. That is just, I'm called to help people whenever, wherever, however, It's just something that I do. And along my sales journey, when I was in the insurance industry, it was always strange to me that, you know, the agent I work for would be like, man, we got to get more. We're not getting enough. We got to sell more. And all the regional directors would come in and be like, Drew, you're the best in the market. You're always in the top five for like this whole region. Will you come in and speak to this company, to these agents? Will you share with them what you're doing? And there was always this weird disconnect to like, how come these people want me to show up and help all these other people, but like it's not working for you? And what I realized is that there was a lot of value to be able to show up in a room and just help others get over that roadblock that they're facing right now. Because a lot of people, it's just, there's a lot of problems, right? It's kind of like sales. There's always surface level issues. There's always these little things that are objections up front, but there's that one main thing that if you could just fix that or figure that out, all of the other stuff is ancillary. It's kind of a domino effect after that. Those things aren't a big deal. So when I found that that's kind of my calling, I really enjoy that side of it. I was actually in my marketing business going, all right, I don't know enough about marketing to feel confident. So I went on to Facebook communities and found groups that were talking about it and just said, all right, I'm pretty good at sales, in my opinion. I can always learn, but I'm pretty good. I need to know marketing. So I will trade my sales skills for your marketing skills and we can work together. And I had one individual in the community who reached out to me and was like, listen, I'll teach you everything you need to know about marketing, but I then want you to take that same thing and teach it to other people because I believe you have the gift of teaching what you're learning. And I was like, that's the stupidest idea ever. Why would I teach them how to do what I'm doing if it's going to make me successful? And so this is a big lesson for the agents that are listening that maybe have someone on their team that they're like, I don't want to help that guy because what if he's more... Here's what I know. The moment that I flipped that switch and I started saying, well, okay, I'm going to learn everything that I can in such a way that I can teach it to someone else, it created opportunity for me to grow because now I can hire and delegate. Where most people get stuck is they don't ever want to teach anyone everything, so they have to do everything. And that was like the big shift in my mindset along the way of like, well, if I just show up and help, it's giving me more opportunity to grow and get things off of my plate to do the things I want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so I want to kind of shift over to, you know, the lead generation and how to cultivate those leads. And so with that, you have a book called The Damn Leads. So, you know,
yes, sir. I sure
love
do.
Love to talk to you about that because I was reading a bit of it. And I really think, you know, for our real estate audience, that book is a definite must read.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. So Call the Damn Leads, much like Crush the Day, it's just a mantra for doing the work. When I created my marketing company, I had an agent who I was generating. Like, I'll tell the story real quick. It won't take long, but he hired us. I believe he paid us somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000 per month for work. And he had us help him put a condo up on an ad to get interest for this condo. It's like a $300,000 condo, something in there. And I remember we generated probably 50 or 60 leads for that condo that month, which these are 50 or 60 people who are buyers looking to buy. And I'll never forget, he called me 2 or 3 weeks into the month and he's going, man, these leads suck. I was like, well, I mean, that's a lot of interest for one property. Like, what's the issue? It's like, well, they don't answer. They're not responding. Like, I can't get a hold of anybody, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, something didn't sit right with me. So I was like, well, all right, man, let me look at the ads, see if I've got targeting wrong, whatever. And I picked up the phone and I started calling them. I was like, hey, this is Drewby. I work with such and such brokerage. I got your information about this listing. And they're like, yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of somebody. I want to take a look at it. When can we schedule a time? So, well, what time do you have available? I'll make it a time for you. And I called, I don't know, 20 or 30, five or six people were interested. I had one person literally send us, like, where can I email a signed contract? We'll take it as is. We don't care. Like, we drove by it. Let's go. I was like, yeah. Send it to this email. I don't know anything about real estate. I'm a freaking marketer and an insurance guy. So I called the guy back and I sent him like, listen, man, I don't know what's going on over there, but here's the deal. Here are four or five people that wanted to look at it. And here's like a guy who signed like a signed contract for it. I don't know what to do over there, but my recommendation is you should probably call the damn leads. By the way, I refunded you your money for the month. please don't ever call me again. And it was just kind of this joke between me and these marketers, like, call the damn leads, call the damn leads. And then it turned into, if you just call the damn leads, you can make more money and you can go live the life that you want to live. And it's now an entire brand and a business that I'm building.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I have very similar experience. We were running as a test for something we were doing, a Facebook ad for an agent, and, you know, never heard anything from her. Went back and looked at the campaign and saw there was like 130 leads and none of them had ever been reached. And we're like, this is it. Like, we're shutting this off.
$1 million in GCI, man. What are they doing?
Like, do not call us again. Like, we're, you know, it was the exact same thing.
Well, go ahead.
No. And so that kind of leads into, you know, we hear so many times about, oh, these leads are terrible, but what's your process for reaching out to them? And, you know, that's where you really have to look at a lot of times. It's not necessarily the people that are filling out the form. It's how are you following up with them?
Yeah. And one of the things I talk about in the book, and so I'll just tell you guys, and if you don't mind, if you go to callthedamnleads.com/free book offer, you can download a PDF version. Yeah, you're going to have to give me your email, but, you know, that's part of the game, right? This is lead generation. This is part of the process. Just experience it so you can learn from it. But what I talk about in the book, as far as my follow-up process, new leads that come in, they should have a 30-day follow-up cadence. So I'm just going to give you the game here. If a new lead came in, I have a process where I contact them on days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, 15, 21, and 28. That's all during the first 30 days. And that's also going to be a mixture of phone calls, text messages, emails. I might try to find their Facebook information and like creep them on social media if I can. Like, I'm not afraid to go and do what I got to do, because here's what I know. If someone has raised their hand and said, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing because I have some sort of problem that needs to be solved, it's now my duty to get to know who that person is so that I can understand what their problem is and see if I can help them solve it. If I can't, I probably know somebody who does, so now I've got a referral opportunity, which is going to create more opportunity for me in the long run. If I can, well, then now I need to go through the process of getting them to know, like, and trust me to where they want to exchange value, time, money, whatever that looks like, so that we can move forward and solve that problem. But most people get a lead, they call it, they text it, they put it in their drip campaign through Boomtown or whatever CRM they're using that they just like, yep, default campaign will get it. Don't worry. There's not seven other agents also trying to hit up this guy that was on Zillow creeping around. You have to differentiate yourself. And so that's where I think having a good cadence is important. And also the content that you're sending, which I won't give you guys all the juice. You got to go get the book and then hit me up to learn a little bit more. But what you're sending is really important too, because it is building that know, like, and trust factor and differentiating yourself from everybody else in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it, with those cadences that you're building, is that something that, you know, maybe once that person has made it through that 30 days, do you put them into another, you know, kind of lead cadence? And is you just kind of like follow their journey along as they are still going through that process?
Yeah. So I set it up into stages of the process. So there's the new leads, there's the hot leads that you've got that are, you know, right now, yeah, these guys are ready to buy. There's a contract, there's a process. Then they go warm, cold, current clients. I think a lot of people skip over that they have current clients that already know, like, and trust them, who they could be calling and working with on things. And then you have like a dead leads category, which is really just long, long-term drip sequences. So for me, if I've paid to generate a lead, $5, $500, whatever that is, I want them to stay in my system until such time that I know every single contact point has been exhausted. Or they've literally told me, sir, I will never do business with you. I'm not interested. Eat, you know, kick bricks. Right. Like, right. Okay, cool. No problem. But if you got a referral for me though, like, I ain't afraid to ask for referrals either. So those are the stages: new, right now, warm, cold, current clients, and dead.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about, you know, people putting people on those, you know, those generic drip campaigns through whatever CRM it is, and there's no differentiation in there. And I think that's where, you know, that research that you're doing on your leads, whether, you know, it's the social media stalking or whatever you want to call it, learning a little bit about them and what their pain points are, is really, you can tailor that follow-up to their specific need.
Well, a lot of people don't want to have to handle objections. Here's how you pre-handle objections. You get to know what the person's actually doing. You ask them questions. You really genuinely care about why they're trying to do the thing that they're doing. And then it makes it a lot easier. The problem is a lot of folks just show up with this idea of, like, we've already presupposed why they're doing the thing that they're doing, and it can create bias. And then all of a sudden you're telling them what they should be doing instead of them realizing that it's the right decision to do the thing that you're advising them to do, because you're the expert who they should be taking the advice from, versus them being like, I know a lot of this stuff. Why is this dude telling me the stuff I already know? Like, or worst case, you're telling them things that doesn't even line up, and they're going, why is this person telling me this thing? I need, like, if they'll shut up for a second, I can tell them that I want to create an investment property, not flip this thing for $25,000. Like, this is why questions are so important, and listening, being on the other side of that, makes all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I can't let you go without telling us about, you know, the memes and everything else, you know, how that all came about, and, you know, what your, you know, first of all, like, really what the whole strategy is behind using memes in your marketing.
So memes, and again, I'm, for those who can't see it, I've tattooed Meme Lord across my knuckles because I love memes. I've realized my whole life I've always loved them, and I'm kind of also a nerdy guy at heart. I grew up playing video games and all that kind of stuff. So when I first started using memes for sales, I was going through one of those slumps where it was like 2 weeks, hadn't closed the deal. Just people left and right were ghosting me or blowing me off. Underwriting was screwing up left and right. And, you know, we could go back and forth about underwriters, whether they're good people or not. But that's a different show for a different day. But I was just in a slump, right? Just kind of out of sorts. And I had a list of about 20 to 25 people who had ghosted me. Then I'm like, this is my top 25. These are the people who I know we had a great conversation. They said they were going to do it. What's going on? And I sent this one meme that was, do you remember the movie Ace Ventura? Remember when he's in like the dolphin tank and he's kind of like looking in there? And it was just him doing that. And it just said, are you there? And I sent it to those 25 people and just kind of was like, well, fuck it. Let's see what happens. Yeah. And I started getting responses within minutes. Ha 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 ha. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. XYZ excuse. I got busy. This, that, whatever. I've been meaning to call you. And then it was like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Invoice paid. Invoice has been paid. And I went, holy mackerel. This is a fluke. And I'm like, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I needed this. And I started asking myself, I was like, okay, but was it a fluke or was there more to this? Because I study sales. I love sales. I've like nerded out on sales and marketing and then the deeper psychology. And this is where I'm going to go with it. So I reached out to a friend of mine and I was like, hey, bub, you're not going to believe this, but hear me out. I started sending these memes. Seems a little unprofessional, but like, bear with me. What do you think? He's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm in. I don't care. Like, what? He calls me back, and he's in real estate, by the way, so this is perfect for your audience. He's like, you are never going to friggin' believe this. I'm like, what's up? He's like, I just got a $1.8 million listing from a guy that I've been chasing down for 4 months. From that meme that you sent me. I literally just sent him the meme and he called me back and was like, hey bro, send me the contract I'm in. Wow. A $1.8 million listing. Yeah. That sold 3 months later.
And what I love about the sending the memes and things like that is it's such a great pattern interrupt from what you are so used to seeing in any kind of marketing text or follow-up.
Well, and here's the other side of it is this is kind of a two-part thing. One, every person who's listening to this, I would put money on, has a thread in their phone of people filled with memes that's pretty much the only thing they send back and forth. And some of those memes they couldn't share publicly because they would be shamed. So like everybody loves memes. Let's just be straight. We all love them. We all use them to communicate. And what's really important when it comes to sales and business? communication. Now, here's the fun, nerdy part about this is memes actually go all the way back to like the late 80s, and they originate from science. There was a guy named Richard Dawkins who wrote a book called The Selfless Gene, and it's like Darwinism, and it kind of talks about, you know, growth and evolution, but within it, it talks about mimetic transfer, which is the transfer of information from one culture to the next. So the example they give is if there's a group of monkeys and one group of monkeys is using a rock to open the coconuts and a monkey from across the island happens to see it and then goes back and shows all its monkey homies how to crack open coconuts. Well, in society and evolution, now that group of monkeys can evolve and grow further in life. So fast forward it to 2020, 24. Now it's just this transfer of information. So we're sending images that we're relating to because we understand we've seen whether it's a picture of a movie or a television show or something that happened like Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars. Like these are trending topics in culture, but we're changing them in our own view by adding our own text, putting a different word, pasting someone else's face on something, right? This is how we're changing information as a culture and shifting it between cultures. And so now when you're able to use that to your advantage because you know who your ideal client is, you know what kind of things they're interested in, what their hobbies are, and you're going to be able to step into their emotional connection faster because a picture is worth a thousand words. So what can you say with a meme that would be a wall of text if you were trying to say it in actual text?
Yeah. And you know what I like about the your first example there, the Ace Ventura one, you know, that if it was just a message in text, it was like, hey, where you been? Haven't heard from you in a long time. Like that can come across, you know, somebody might.
A little crude, a little rude, something like that.
Yeah. You know, they might think, oh, you're coming at me a little hostily, but with the meme, you know, it immediately kind of cuts that out and you get the sense of humor from it. And, you know, it kind of, it helps break down that barrier a little bit as well.
And the thing that I love about memes is that right now, most phones, if you send someone a text, we get that banner pop up. So like we can see it at the top or it kind of shows on our homes, our lock screen. So we can see it's like, oh, I'm just checking in. Wanted to follow up. Did you get that contract? Have you called the inspector? Did you talk to your more, you know, all this typical shit that we send them. But if it's a picture or a meme, it's just going to say you've received an image or a MMS or whatever it is these days. And so now there's curiosity and they're like, well, what is this? And they're going to click on it and they're going to want to look at it and open it and see what it is. So again, pattern interrupt. What are we doing to get their attention just long enough to keep their attention to do the thing we need them to do next? And so you're absolutely right. Like that's the beauty of it is just doing something different to get in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is honest. This is a conversation that could really last hours, you know, with all the different marketing tentacles and the lead follow up. But I do want to ask you where people can learn more from you. You got an awesome website that people can, you know, get a lot of stuff from. So tell me a little bit about everything else you got going on.
Yeah. First, Michael, I just want to thank you for giving me a chance to be here with you today to take some time to pour into your community. I want to thank the listener for being here with us. Again, time is valuable. So if you took some time to listen all the way to this point, I want to say thank you for investing some of it with us today. More than anything, if you've been here and enjoyed it, share this with someone that you got value out of it from. Tag Michael, tag the show, tag me at Call the Damn Leads. Like that is why we're doing this, is to help you and anyone who can get value from it. If you guys liked it and you want to learn from me, you want to get a copy of my book, callthedamnleads.com. That's my main website. If you go to callthedamnleads.com/free book offer, you can get the PDF version sent right to your email for free. I'm going to send you some emails and follow up because that's what good sales do. But I will give you the book for free so you can learn some things and see if you like me before we, you know, we do business together. Again, at Call the Damn Leads on all your social platforms. We also have a podcast where we get, you know, fun sales stories and that. So I would love to, you know, share some more with anyone who's interested in taking it to that next level.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely have all the links in our episode description. So it's right there for everybody. Well, I really did appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. And I think it's, you know, these are things that a lot of people, you know, when they are looking at their leads and they're, you know, they're getting frustrated about, you know, how their conversion rate is or anything, you really look at what you're doing and how you're, you know, kind of utilizing all the tools that you have available to, you know, kind of stand out from everybody else.
Absolutely right, Michael. And it's the little things that make all the biggest impact in the long run. And so I'd love to show them some of those little things they could be doing to make a big difference in their life.
Awesome. Well, again, I really do appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
I want to thank Drewby for joining us today and really like the idea of standing out by using memes in your follow-up. Remember to check out the episode description for links to Drewby's website as well as a free book download. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message to feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.